Amen. The story continues. Let us listen for the remaining reading of this gospel story. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, will you fall afresh on us? Fall afresh on us, O God. Mold us, build us, use us, shape us. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, would you speak through me? God, would you speak in spite of me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some weeks ago, I was sitting in a room having a conversation with Sister Marguerite. Sister Marguerite is a nun who lives in community with other sisters in a Franciscan community in Bethlehem, PA. I was sitting with her and I was receiving spiritual guidance. And she told me, she's probably in her 80s now, she told me at that time that recently she had accompanied many of her friends through death, that many sisters in the community had been dying and that it was a difficult time. And she told me some of the stories of the last words that she heard from some of these sisters, and one story really stuck out to me. It was Sister Dorian. Sister Dorian was dying. She was breathing some of her last words. And Sister Marguerite was sitting with her, and she heard Sister Dorian say, "I can see Paul." Paul was her brother, who had died just a few years before. And then a few moments later, she said, "I can see Jesus." And then she died. These words give me hope. It's a story, the story of Sister Dorian is a story about resurrection hope. Resurrection hope, on the one hand, is about the hope that we have that there is life after death, that there is life beyond death, that this is not the end for us. This was not the end for Sister Dorian. I think about all of the people throughout our history, for example, who have gone to their deaths unjustly, prematurely. I think about the shortened lives of enslaved people in our country. I think of people whose bodies were brutalized and cut short by violence. I think of Native peoples who were exterminated or forcibly removed from our country, in our country. And I imagine that when God gathers up all things to be reconciled and renewed, that these people will be inheritors of the land, they will be the first in the kingdom of heaven. That all of these crucified bodies throughout our history will be raised. The resurrection gives me hope that this life isn't all there is for some, especially those who have suffered so much. Because God is love, I believe God will bring ultimate restoration and justice. I have no idea how, but I believe it. And it is the hope that Sister Dorian gives us, that at the threshold of passing from life, this life into the next, she is passing back into the loving arms of God. This is the one hand of resurrection hope. Now there is another hand. It's all part of the same hope. This is one hand, there is another hand. Because does the resurrection have anything to do with our lives today? Does the resurrection have something to do with you, with your life today, at this moment, at this time, at this place that we're sitting here today? In fact, I believe that the resurrection is not only about life after this life. And if so, we are really cheapening the gospel. We are cheapening the message of the gospel because we are watering it down. Resurrection hope has everything to do with this life that we're living, our day-to-day life. And in fact, the Easter story that we just heard is a story about life, this life. Our story features Mary Magdalene. Mary was a disciple of Jesus. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. She was a disciple of Jesus. She was the first apostle of the risen Christ. She was the apostle to the apostles. She was the one who brought the news to them. They, of course, didn't believe her. Jesus had to appear many times to the brothers in order for them to believe. But apparently he only had to appear once to Mary. Amen? That's great. Mary Magdalene's presence at Jesus' tomb is a consistent thread throughout all of the gospel writings. She was clearly a beloved disciple, a friend of Jesus. She was known as a disciple, and she clearly loved him, loved Jesus. The story begins with the reality of death. Doesn't it just seem like that is our reality too? What Mary sees all around her is the ugliness, the suffering, the cruelty of the powers of death at work. Her friend and her teacher has just suffered a horrifying, violent death. This reality has not gone away from her. She's in it. She's living it. She's mourning. And isn't this true about our story too? Isn't this what we've heard all week long? Stories of the ugliness, of the cruelty, of the powers of death at work in our world. Maybe we've even experienced death and suffering this week, some of us. The news of gas attacks, American bombs dropping on Syria and Afghanistan, the desperation of immigrants and refugees trying to just find a place to live that is safe for their children, the destruction of our planet and news of rolling back regulations that will protect our planet, losing loved ones too soon to cancer and to illness. This is all real. This is what we know. We have evidence for it. We know the power of death. We know we can touch it. We can smell it. We can taste it. We are like Mary. We're at the tomb. The crucifixion is real. The cross is real. Jesus really died. He was really tortured. The reality of death and destruction, we can't belittle its power. It's powerful. Mary is like us. She's just trying to navigate in a world where there's a lot of death. She's just trying to do the loving thing and care for a loved one who's died. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to get to the tomb and the body isn't there? Her love and her desperation to find the body is so evident in this story. Did you hear how many times she said, "They have taken the Lord away. I don't know where they've put him." And she says it to the angels, "They've taken my Lord from the tomb. I don't know where they've put him." She's so upset, she says it to the gardener. She thinks the gardener has taken Jesus' body. She says, "Sir, if you have taken the body, tell me where you've put him so I can go to him." She just wants to care for the body of the one she loved. She just wants to do what we want to do, care for the dead. That's what love looks like, isn't it? Doesn't it look like that? Mary is doing the loving thing. And in a difficult world, in a suffering world, she is doing the loving thing. It's what we would do. But there is something else. There is something else that this story wants us to hear. It's not that Mary is doing anything wrong, but what is missing is hope. Being able to see, it's a matter of sight, being able to see beyond the reality of death and destruction. Cornel West says that only people who are familiar with despair, who know despair deep in their bones, those are the people who are empowered most to live in hope. It is only the people who are familiar with despair who really can hope. Mary has traveled this path of despair, and then something happens to her. It is a gentle thing, it's a quiet, it's a shift. Notice there aren't trumpets blaring in the background. There's no rainbow in the sky. There's no dove descending. There's no earthquake. There's a quiet and gentle turning. Jesus, who had been dead and buried only days before, is standing in her midst and says to her, Mary. He calls her by name. This is an experience so profound and powerful, we fail to put it into words. I can't put it into words. I think the gospel writers struggled to. But something about the experience of the risen Lord calling her by name, telling her, don't cling to me because you need to go and become apostle of the good news of hope. About what she's just experienced, that death and violence and destruction do not have the final word. That the God of life and liberation and love is the God that raised me, Jesus, from death, and that same God raises Mary out of her despair and out of her hopelessness. Because Jesus has risen, she can rise out of her fear and out of her despair. It is this experience that is difficult to put into words, the experience of the risen Christ that fuels Mary, puts life into Mary to go out and go on loving and go on living in this life, and especially in places where there is death and suffering. The risen Christ doesn't take us out of this world. The risen Christ puts us back into the world with renewed hope in our hearts. You see, experiencing the risen Christ empowers us in this life, to resist the powers of death and destruction. It was a gentle turning for Mary. She saw the cross, but then she saw the cross in light of the resurrection. And when you see the cross in light of the resurrection, what you see is that this experience of God-forsakenness is not an everlasting experience. And it is not the final word. I wonder if on that day, Mary's gentle turning made her a prisoner of hope. A prisoner of hope is a term that the prophet Zechariah used many years before Mary came on the scene. I wonder if Mary moved from a place of captivity to despair and death to a different kind of captivity, a captivity to hope. Hope is what her words express. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Love wins. Life wins. The way of truth and life is not the way of violence and vengeance. No, the way of truth and life is through self-giving love. And it is that love that wins in the end. It is that love that God embodies and pours out for us. My friends, this is our story. Maybe you've never thought of it as your story, but it can be your story. You are invited today to experience the risen Christ who comes to you and calls you by your name, telling you that you can also rise in newness of life on this day, and that the forces of death, the incredible violence of our world, the power of racism and white supremacy in our world, Militarism and materialism, those are not the defining powers in your life. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Romans that the Spirit that raised Jesus from death is the same Spirit that raises you from death to life. And that same Spirit gives life to your bodies today, because it is today that you are asked to be a light bearer, a love bearer in places where there is suffering and death. Is it possible, do you think, that in this moment we could hear those words to us, the same words that Jesus gave to Mary? Have you ever thought about the fact that the first thing the risen Christ did was go out and raise others out of their captivity to death? The first thing the risen Christ did was raise Mary up out of her fear and anguish. The risen Christ is in the business of raising us up today in hope, to be people of resistance to the powers of death we see all around us and even inside of us. So can you hear the risen Christ speaking to you? Even if you can hardly believe it, maybe after you say it out loud, you will begin to believe it. Even if you're doubting that any of this is true, I'm going to ask you to repeat these words after me. In faith, you may not totally believe it, but I'm going to ask you to say it out loud and see what happens to you. I can see Jesus. Jesus is risen. The risen Christ has called me by name to be a prisoner of hope, to be a bearer of love, to be an instrument of peace. Therefore, with Christ, I will rise. Because God has raised me. I have seen the Lord. Amen.